Thank you for being out. And it's been a great Lord's Day today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come to one who knows every need that we have. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. And we thank you, Father, that not only do you know we have need of them, but you meet the need. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, we lift Stu before you tonight. We pray for your protection. We pray for all of his fellow officers. We ask for those across America that are seeking to protect and defend our cities. We lift them in prayer before you. We ask that there would be, from your hand, a calming, a peaceful. You are the God of peace, and we lift these cities before you in appeal for your intervention. Now, Father, we thank you for this time in your word, and we pray that you would move our heart to love you, to obey, and delight in you, and represent you as the people of God. We love you. We thank you for your love for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as a reminder, since I haven't been with you in 8 weeks, John is writing to counteract a false teaching in his day known as Gnosticism. Gnosticism believed that there was nothing good about the flesh, but only the spirit was good. So it didn't matter what you did in your flesh. Only what is done in my spirit is good. John will confront that significantly, clearly, in the passage that you and I will be looking at tonight. Look with me, beginning at verse 1, 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Verse 1, John makes it clear, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Now we are children of God. Dear ones, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a child of God. John 1:12 says, for as many as received him, to them he gave the power or authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ, you became a son, a daughter of God. This is a powerful section of Scripture. Later in 1 John chapter 5, John will absolutely assure us that we can know that we have eternal life. Know it. Not think so. Not hope so. Not maybe so. I know so. He says that in 1 John 5:13. Now, in chapter 3, he says, now, right now, we are the children of God. In this section, John clarifies. He makes a distinction between the children of Satan and the children of God. Those who are following Satan act like Satan. A deceiver, a liar, a destroyer. Does that sound familiar from the news since Friday? What started in Minneapolis has now gone across the country. He makes clear so that we cannot miss, we can't miss it, that there is a distinction between the children of God and the children of Satan. As a child of God, there is something very important to know. We belong to Him and we represent Him. He lives in us. Notice that with me in verse 9. We have. The seed of God in us. What's the seed of God? It's His Spirit, dear ones. His Spirit. He lives in us. He has taken up residence in us. Now, when you look at 1 John 3, 1 through 9, John tells us two facts about the Lord Jesus. Tells us, first of all, who He is. And what He is. Who is He? And why did He come? Who is He? And why did He come? Who is He? He is righteous. Look with me at verse 7. Underscore that in your Bible. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. Righteous. Keep your finger in verse 7. Look at me at chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. John is saying the same thing here. He is righteous. He is holy. What He does is right. He is righteous. And then in verse 5 of chapter 3, go back there with me, please. In 1 John 3, verse 5, and you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. That's who He is. He's righteous, and in Him there is no sin. Why did He come? John gives us two reasons again in verse 5. Underscore the word manifested. It means to appear. Why did He appear? Why did He come? For two reasons. He was manifested. He came first to take away our sins. Verse 5. And He was manifested to destroy, nullify, render inoperable Satan's works. Who is He? He is righteous, and in Him there is no sin. And that's who we belong to, folks. That's who we belong to. He is in us. Now, in verses 1 through 9, John points out for us three facts about our position as the child of God. First of all, he notes our privilege, John is so enthralled. He is so humbled. He is so overwhelmed by the fact that he is called the Son of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Who are we that we should be called the children of God? My dear friends, may we never, ever, ever, ever forget that sense of awe. There's the wonder of sunset and evening. The wonder of sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Dear ones, that's what John is overwhelmed with. The love of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. May we never, ever get over that awesome fact that God loves me. And I belong to Him. I am His child forever. Now, that's our privilege. He talks about our position. We are the children of God. We are the children of God. And then he talks about our practice in verses 4 through verse 9. Look with me at that indeed, that glorious, glorious privilege. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. It was interesting as I was studying this because I had just read a message by John MacArthur that he preached at Grace Community Church after he had arrived there as pastor over 50 years ago. Hard to believe he's been going that long, you know? He must have been 15 when he started. But in his message, How to Play Church, he underscored the significance in Matthew 7, where Jesus said, I have not known you. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, I never knew you. He points out that word know is an intimacy. And he takes us back to Genesis, where Adam knew his wife and conceived. That sense of intimacy, that sense of oneness. That is behind that word know, an intimate and strong bond between you and the living God. The world does not know, does not have, does not want an intimate relationship with God. What does the world want? Remember, we looked at that, so just go back to chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. What does the world want? The world, John tells us clearly, do not love the world. By the way, you can put this in the margin of your Bible. And that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's what the world loves. And by the way, that world is under the control of our adversary, Satan. So go back with me now to 1 John chapter 3. The world does not know us because it did not know him. The world doesn't want anything to do with him. We are a reminder to them that the gospel is true. They don't want to believe, my friend. They don't. They want to run their own lives. My friend, Ken, when I met him at Flint U of M, was sharing the gospel with a lady. And he pointed out to her a powerful truth. Her name happened to be Kay. He said, Kay, the difference between run and ruin is I. If God runs my life, he owns it. He'll direct me, lead me, provide for me. If I run my life, I'll ruin it. What a powerful truth, folks. It's exactly what John is saying here. The world didn't know us because it didn't know him. Right now, we are the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we will be. What a great encouragement! People love to point out our flaws and failures as Christians. Their favorite word to describe us is hypocrite. Oh no. I'm just a project under construction. And so are you, my dear friend. What he begins, he finishes. Philippians 1:6 became a life verse of mine. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, underscore that, he began it. And it's going to take until the day of Jesus Christ to complete it. But when I'm complete, I'll look like him. What a glorious truth. He's in me. He lives in me. And I will look like him when he's done. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We're under construction. Please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. And dear ones, he's not finished with you either. We're under construction. When he appears, we will be like him. And he who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Now John will move from that statement of drawing near to him, seeking him, desiring to be like him. And now he's going to make absolutely, positively clear that as the children of God, we have to live that out. And how we live delineates whose we are. Sidebar. Nice to say that again after 8 weeks. Sidebar. because we belong to Him. Because we belong to Him. The longer I talk, my thought will come back. So let me finish my sidebar. I can't remember what I was going to say, but I'll come back to it when I remember. But at any rate, John is underscoring that whose we are is shown in the way we live. Let me stop right here. It's very important to underscore this fact. Can we avoid sinning? We can. But folks, we can sin in word, in thought, in deed, in motive. No one can say, I am without sin. No sinless perfection. We can't. John said that in 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar. And his truth is not in us. So he is not saying that if you slip, you don't belong to God. I remember talking to a man who did not believe in eternal security. And I asked him, I said, okay, if you sin, what happens to you? He said, I go straight down to hell. Really? Can I ask you a question? If you receive Jesus Christ and you gain eternal life, how long is eternal? How long is eternal? I am so glad that what he said is totally erroneous, friend. For God to send me to hell after I have confessed faith in Jesus Christ, he has to undo what he did. He has to take away the eternal life. He has to take away his spirit. He has to take away his promise. He has to take away everything. He has to remove my name, which he said he won't do, from the Lamb's Book of Life. And so John is not saying that here. What he is saying is that how I live, how my heart functions when I sin. How do you feel when you sin? Overwhelmed, I'm guilty, I'm ashamed. You want to see a picture of this? You'll see it in two responses. In the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas, when he saw what happened to the Lord Jesus, went out and hanged himself. He committed suicide. Peter went out and wept bitterly. There's the difference, friend. There's the difference. John is not saying if you slip, if you fall, if you fail, you're not a Christian. Guess who wants you to believe that, friend? We have an enemy that wants you to believe that. Satan. He loves to throw that in your face, in my face. How can God love you? You call yourself a Christian? Don't help him. He doesn't need any help. What's my heart? It's my heart for him. Do I weep bitterly or do I go out and destroy myself? By the way, that is an indicator. Judas never knew the Lord Jesus. He became a victim of the enemy, folks. Became a victim of the enemy. He was overwhelmed, saw no hope, and he hanged himself. And so John makes it absolutely, abundantly clear. We can't miss it. It does matter what I do in my body. The deeds I do show who I am and whose I belong to. It matters. Why? Thank you for asking. Because we represent Him. Because He lives in us. We are now children of God. Now. Right now, tonight, May 31st, 2020. We are now the children of God. We can act like it because He's in us. And He gives us the power to live for Him. Let's look at verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. I love this statement from Warren Wiersbe. He says, sin is defilement and defiance. You want to see both defilement and defiance? Look at our country. As a result of that horrendous act in Minneapolis and the widespread outbreak of violence from Minneapolis on, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Detroit, Los Angeles, San Diego, Dallas, you can name the cities. Dear ones, you're looking at the enemy at work. You're looking at the enemy at work. In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon. In Greek, his name is Apollyon. In English, destroyer. You've heard the saying from Campus Crusade that the first spiritual law is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Dr. James Logan International Center of Biblical Counsel. Now they've changed their name, but Dr. Logan has a powerful statement that matches that. Satan hates you and has a horrible plan for your life. The difference between run and ruin is I. Who's in control? God or you? Satan hates you and has a horrible plan for your life. He is a destroyer, folks. That's all he can do is destroy. Satan, and in fact, John underscores that concerning our enemy, the works of the devil. He said, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil because he wants to defeat and destroy the destroyer. By the way, in Isaiah 14, there's a fascinating statement, verses 12 through 17. There is a fascinating statement in that section that underscores how Satan came into existence. He was made originally one of the highest of the ranking angels. His name was Lucifer, son of the morning. He became Satan, adversary, by his five I will statements. He wanted to be like the Most High. Satan wanted the power of God without the character of God. Thought he could overthrow God and was defeated. In Isaiah 14, Isaiah says of Satan, is this the one who destroyed our cities? Is this the one who destroyed our cities? He's the destroyer, folks. Sin brings defilement. Sin brings defiance. The difference between run and ruin is I. Now, John makes it clear. How I live shows who I belong to. Whoever commits, whoever continually practices sin without any regard of who you're hurting, whether yourself, your family, or ultimately God. If you can sin without any kind of conscience, without any kind of remorse, you can question if you belong to God. John makes it clear. It matters how I live, because how I live demonstrates who I belong to. He says that in verse 5, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Oh, how can I have victory? Oh, dear ones, you can mark in the margin right here, John 15, 1 through 8. It's what I call the confessions of a grape. G-R-A-P-E, the fruit. In John 15, the Lord Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Sidebar 1A. Here is the key to victory. Here is the key to watching God work in your life. It is abiding in Him. My dear friend, I don't have to struggle, strive, try, attempt, attain, to attain. All I have to do is abide in Him and let Him abide in me. How do I do that? I do that by faith. I do that by faith. I believe Him. I trust Him. And day by day, I'm abiding in Him. He's abiding in me. I'm abiding in Him. He's abiding in me. And dear ones, it is an awesome fact that when that happens, we're walking together in fellowship. Abide in Him. Notice that in John, 1 John 3. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. He says what that is in verse 7 of chapter 1. It's walking in the light. Walking in the light. But if I don't abide in Him, what happens? Whoops. We stumble. We fall. We falter. It's the difference between I and, run and ruin is I. If I don't put my flesh to death by the power of God's Spirit, flesh overtakes me, dear ones. There's a powerful picture of that in the Old Testament. Remember when the children of Israel were in battle and Moses was up in the mountain? As long as Moses' hands with the rod was extended, Israel had victory. Then they realized that if Moses' hands dropped, the enemy gained the victory. And so Aaron and Hur got up there and they propped up Moses' arm so they could have the victory. My dear friend, if you and I walk in our own flesh, we'll fail. The hymn writer said it so well. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Now, little children, let no one deceive you. Verse 7. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. It matters how I live, dear friends. I'm not going to tell you what to avoid and what to do. Because if I do it, I might just miss what God wants to point out in your life. Let Him do it. God just called us to love Him. Anything not like God, anything not in line with His Word, anything not in line with who God is and His character, we need to avoid. We need to avoid. How are we the key in 2020 to the election and to the survival of America? Because we belong to God. We represent Him. He lives in us. And as we live out that relationship with Jesus Christ, we make a difference. We make a distinction. That's how. We show ourselves to be the children of God. We are the key to America. You know that glorious truth, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, in this case, it's Israel. All right, let's go back there. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Don't turn in your Bible. Just go back in your mind with me. God's saying that of Israel. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sins, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Why does it matter how I live? Because it shows who I belong to. And God said, you will not take my name in vain. Dear ones, when we resist God, when we turn our hearts from God, it doesn't take sin long to overtake us. Have you found that? I need to put my flesh to death every day. And so, dear ones, God takes His name very seriously. And so we, in Solomon's day, it was Israel. In our day, it's we who belong to Jesus Christ. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. We are the key. Judgment begins in the house of God. We're the key. Not the world getting right. It's us in the church following and abiding in Him, living for Him. John was pointing out and blowing out of the water the idea that it doesn't matter what I do in my flesh because my flesh is evil, and so it doesn't matter. What my spirit is really what matters. Of course not. Because what I am on the inside is what I need to show on the outside. because that's what demonstrates whose I am. And so John summarizes it in verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil. Can't get clearer than that. It can't get clearer than that. He who practices righteousness is demonstrating that he belongs to God. He who is practicing evil is demonstrating he doesn't. You are now the children of God. Live like it. Live like it. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. What was the first sin ever committed in God's creation? Thank you for asking. Pride. Pride. It was when Lucifer wanted to take the worship of God to himself. And dear ones, that is why God hates pride. You know what pride says? Pride says, I don't need anyone, not even God. I can do this myself. The difference between run and ruin is I. So how I live demonstrates whose I am. How I live demonstrates whose I am. It matters. It mattered in John's day, dear ones. It matters today, May 31st, 2020. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In the margin of your Bible, or in your notes, please write down Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And dear ones, it will take that long. It will take that long. Please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. Please be patient with you. God isn't finished with you yet. But when he appears, we will see him like he is. And then we will be like him. Now, right now, we are children of God. Selah.